Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Davari, and Dan. It's the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast, or Kangs, depending on your vernacular. I'm going to jump off into it because, man, something's been, like, just killing me, man. That's all these trolls and haters coming at our beloved Bears, man, and our young developing superstar QB, Justin Fields, man. I went on a little Twitter tirade the other day. I'm going to start it off with that. All these guys that like to say this goofy, corny term, right, this meatball term called Bustin' Fields. You must be 12. You got to be 12 to say stuff like that. If you say stuff like that, I immediately think you have mush for brains. You have a smooth brain. You have no wrinkles in your brains, which means you have the brain of a caveman, a Neanderthal. That's what I think of you. That's why a lot of times I don't even respond when people say that. And these same dudes, pre-draft.
It means you stand like George Pickens. George it means you do the George Pickens stance all the time.
The knuckle dragon.
Yeah.
The knuckle dragon.
The Neanderthal.
You have a club and you live in a cave. You know, you're barely Homo erectus. Go look that up. You guys, the Detroit Lions have edits of Justin Fields in uniform. The Minnesota Vikings have Justin Fields edits in uniforms. The San Francisco 49ers, the New York Jets, the Carolina Panthers, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Atlanta Falcons.
The Atlanta Falcons, the New England Patriots, the Denver Broncos, and the New Orleans Saints. And then you guys now in my mentions, and Bear fans mentions, talking about, oh, Justin Fields a bust. You just wanted Justin Fields.
And if they could get him right now, they'd bust a nut to get him. Quick as hell. They would, oh my God. We have Justin Fields. We're to the Super Bowl, baby.
So these dudes are killing me, man. They're killing me. And then you got this one guy, he got an account. He must be 12 years old. I don't know. And I feel bad if he is 12 talking about him.
I don't. Fuck him. Gonna post that stupid shit. Thought he was on point.
Thought he was doing something. What
he do? That's what he do. I'm laughing.
This dumb motherfucker gonna sit up here and post the old, like when Darnell Mooney was running his routes against the Los Angeles Rams, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A couple more games here. Well, I think one of them was against the Saints. Another one was whatever. Anyway, Justin Fields was still in college during this time, folks. Just let that resonate for a minute. Was still in college, and he's saying, oh, look at Bustin' Fields. He can't even hit these guys, and they're wide open. The fuck? Like, yeah, of course he can't, because, I mean, shit, he was in college at that time at Ohio State.
It's the video clip that everybody has seen time and time again. It went through the cycle, you know, all through the offseason. You know, last year it went through the whole cycle and everybody's seen it. It is what it is. You know what I mean? But this was Nick Foles and Mitch Trubisky launching uncatchable balls to Darnell Mooney. And he tried to post that and say it was Justin Fields. That was
cocaine is a hell of a drug. Hell of a drug. And crack kills.
So everybody proceeded to drag him on Twitter.
Boo this man severely.
It was that one. It was a Funk Flex interviewing Kevin Lyles, and he was like, first there was the coke, and at what point did that crack started to play a part? That's what I thought about. What point did that crack kick in? Because you on crack.
For real. Like, how could you not know he didn't play that season? I mean, damn, he only played one season. That was last year, so.
It wasn't even a full season.
I mean, it
played 10 games.
It had, I mean, damn, we wore the. I mean, didn't something click in dude brain? Like, these are the wrong jerseys that they wore last year when they played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Los Angeles Rams. We didn't fucking play the Saints last year. So that should have been a dead giveaway. A dead giveaway.
But these be the people, dude. Like, when I usually ignore it, I had to do it muted. And then, like, Elise hit us up. Shout out to Elise. And I had to do what I had to do. You know, because it just gets so crazy at times. And there's so many of these dudes. Man, you know what? Some of these people in the media. Some of these people are in the media. They got blue check marks, and they think exactly like this.
Just if you just look at this, look at the comments under his post. It's hilarious, bro. And the funny thing is, he got 136 likes out of that crap.
Because it's 136 other dumb motherfuckers just like him.
Some clown in the shoes. World.
Brain.
They got clown shoes up there.
Chrome Magnum.
Adam Rank jumped in there. He was like, the Bears wore dark jerseys in the first season. And Jalen is now number 5 by the good effort, though. When trolling goes wrong, I call this being stupid as hell.
Congratulations. You just got dragged. Your ass is dragged.
So, man, these people, man. Oh, my God, man. And that's why I say expose these clowns. That's why I posted all those pictures, because I remember all those pictures. Because we didn't have a Justin Field edit in Chicago Bears uniforms. We didn't expect to get them. We were picking 20 of them. We didn't know it was possible. All these guys before us thought they were going to get them, wanted to get them, all the way from the first pick to the 20th pick, man.
I had hope. Yeah. I was like, you know what? Wouldn't it be crazy if we fucked around and got Justin Fields?
Yeah.
And I said Matt Nagy. We got Justin Ryan Fields. Pace
were crazy enough to try to do it to save their jobs. That's the only reason I was like, they might be crazy enough.
It would have worked if he had a different head coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy, man.
Going crazy on that fool, man.
He deserves it.
Yeah, I was surprised we got Justin Fields that time around too. I didn't think there was a chance for us to get up there that high and get him. So, you know, I was ecstatic, and I'm still ecstatic about it.
Same. Still ecstatic. Same.
We so lucky, bro.
I can't wait till we whoop the Niners' ass on 9/11.
9/11. Trey Lance, baby. Trey Lance.
I'm going to be there full front and center. But, well, speaking of Trey Lance, man, have y'all seen the little comment that he made about Deebo Samuel not being at being at practice and whatnot?
And was, I didn't see it coming, but I saw Ryan Clark talking about it.
Yeah, Ryan Clark told him he needs to be an independent contractor.
Mm-hmm.
And that shut up and mind his own own business and do his job.
Yeah, I saw that.
Wow.
So you need to be an independent contractor. He was like, you need to be an independent contractor, mind your own business, and focus on getting better.
I mean, but he hadn't done anything. He's right. Yeah. Yeah. What is he proving?
Yeah.
He couldn't beat out mediocre Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, that's another one that, you know, during that draft, I was like, God, please don't get him.
Trey Lance?
I didn't want Trey Lance. I didn't. That North Dakota shit, mm-mm. I'm good on that. You know what I'm saying? Which, you know, I mean, it's a different level of ball. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
Yeah.
Perfect example. I think, and this is just, I think Carson Wentz fucked it up for a lot of people coming out of that school, man. And it's specialty positions, because it's like, once the game caught up to Carson Wentz, he wasn't the same.
No.
He wasn't the same. When the game caught up to him, he wasn't the same. So I wonder if this is the same thing that's going to happen with the wide receiver that Green Bay got, because he already got a case of the dropsies. And then, you know, you got Trey Lance. I mean, of course, you know, he played 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, but, I mean, you starting the season off against a defense you're not familiar with seeing, which is our Bears. It's a defense he's not familiar with seeing. And then on top of that, I mean, that fucking defensive secondary is the Matrix. I'm just going to call them, fuck the no-fly zone. We calling that shit the Matrix.
Hey, don't be trying to take my no-fly zone, but I can ride with the Matrix.
Hey, you know what? they used the no-fly zone at Michigan State when they had Denard and all them cats over there, man. Yeah. Darquise Denard and what's that corner that got drafted by Minnesota in the first round?
Trey Waynes.
Yep, Trey Waynes. And Denard and all that. Michigan State had that no-fly zone that year. They beat Stanford in the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And that's when they started the whole no fly zone and yada yada yada. But the Matrix, I'm telling you, man, it's no joke. With Johnson, with I keep forgetting Gordon.
Kyler Gordon.
Yeah. Gordon. With Gordon. And then back there you got Brisker. And then you got Bo Jack, man. Oh my God. Man.
Hey, you still got TG4 back there and Tavon Johnson. Tavon Young stay healthy, bro. Right. He's legit. He's a legit nickel. Did y'all hear about what Cooper Kupp said about Jalen Johnson, though?
Yeah.
You know, he was on that podcast and they just said, hey, who two guys? He said Kenny Moore. You know, Kenny Moore, we know Kenny Moore because we've been watching a lot of Colts tape. Kenny Moore is legit. Mm-hmm. He said Jalen Johnson. Mm. So they played the Rams twice, right? So you got a guy who's probably considered top three wide receiver in the NFL voluntarily mentions the name Jalen Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Facts.
It tells you a lot, though, man, because, you know, out of everybody that he played, to be able to name that kid, you know what I mean, name that guy, to me, that speaks volumes. That speaks volumes. So, you know, and it, like you said, it's a top two or three receiver in the league. You know, to step out there and say, you know, Jalen Johnson, he's done some things and he's going to compete. That's what you want. You know what I mean? Everybody's going to get beat. And this is the NFL. You're going to get beat. You know, somebody's going to post a clip of Jalen Johnson getting burnt one time. You know what I mean? It's going to happen. But do you compete on plays? Do you compete every play? And you know, that's what I look at, you know? So when I see guys stepping up and saying that about him, is what I thought he did. You know what I mean? This is what I already know. You know, it just puts validation to it, though.
Hey, my man Cooper Kupp was lined up like a brother. Did y'all peep that?
Yeah, he did.
He had the taper. The beard all crisp and lined up with the goat. I'm like, damn, Coop, you won an MVP, boy. Straight up turned into soul brother number one, huh?
He cold.
Yeah,
Kupp cold, man.
Had the LA hat with the LA upside down.
Uh-huh.
I said, okay. Coop got some swag over there, man. White chocolate. All right, I see you.
Yeah, baller. He also was 24 years old as a rookie when everybody talking about Bayless Jones Jr.'s age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so was Kelsey. Like, Hub said something about that today. Like, oh, it still irks me that Bayless Jones is 25 years old as a rookie. I don't, not that it's a bad thing. I'm like, the weirdest thing about all that to me, exactly, it's them. The fact they keep bringing it up.
what do you bring that up for? I'm gonna put it like this. If let's say he was 23 instead of 24 going on 25, it'll be 25 at the beginning of the year, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say he was 23 and he makes it through his first 4-year contract or whatever. He's 27, 28 years old, going into free agency, and you're not going to want to pay him anyway. So what's the difference? You know what I mean? I mean, let's just be real. Bears fans, we know how this works. They're going to they want to hold on to the money, right? Everybody wants flexibility, and, you know, you want to underpay everybody. So at the end of the day, what's the difference? You know, he's going to be 30 as opposed to 28. So what? I don't see that big of a deal.
Yeah, it's silly, man. It just – I don't know, man. I'm sick of, like, the media. It gets old. Now you got people writing articles. If the Bears got the number one draft pick, it would be a good thing. Are y'all bored? Is the media bored? You know, that's my question to the media, national media and the local Bears. Are y'all bored? Is there nothing else you can talk about or write about?
Nothing. It's a slow sport. This part of the year is real slow. So, they, you know, I guess they feel like, let's strum up some bullshit and get people talking about it or whatever, you know, no matter how true or false it is. I mean, again, you got the NBA Finals talking about, you know, you got the NBA Finals going on, and then you got people, you know, starting rumors like it's Jimmy Butler's, it's Jimmy Butler, Michael Jordan's long lost son and shit. And illegitimate son. Let's break down the timelines. Like, what?
He played the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah.
1995.
Like, back in 1989. Well, that would take it back to 1988. On this day, he played the San Antonio Spurs, and then they played the Houston Rockets 2 days later. Jimmy Butler is from Houston, and then that would put the timeline roughly at about 1 year from 1989, the day that Jimmy Butler was born. Like, what?
Jimmy Butler's mom was a cocktail waitress at the club that Jordan went to. He ordered a bottle from her. Possibly had a menage a trois.
Like, they crazy. All that wild shit, man, for real.
And that's what a lot of it is, man. Jalen Johnson also spoke. He was on the Jim Rome show, and he said, and we talked about this, that him running with the twos wasn't that big of a deal. And we said it, but that didn't stop people from, like, creating articles saying Jalen Johnson might be traded. Let's see what we can get for Jalen Johnson. Same old bullshit over and over.
They always try to trade good motherfuckers away for, like, some motherfucker that went to Chicago State or went to fucking Eastern Illinois.
Yeah, let's trade that Jalen Johnson guy for Petrovic, and maybe we can get the second coming of Trubisky there, eh?
Like, Doug, sit your head. Shut up. Shut up. It's like the more and more this drags on that there's no football, the more and more I realize that we really don't have a fan base with a football IQ. And that's facts. Because a lot of our fan base are just, I'm sorry, as y'all like to say, smooth brain, smooth brain, bratwurst eaters.
Bratwurst.
I'm dead ass serious, man. I'm dead ass serious. You know what I'm saying? Like, a certain individual who would, like, swear up and down it was, like, so pro Chicago, but then be hitting Milwaukee games and shit, and you know, Packer games, and I'm like, what the fuck? Wait, what are you doing? You know, I'm just being real. Like, you know,
it's true.
So gung-ho Chicago, but then be everything Milwaukee. Like,
right.
Or Wisconsin. Like, you serious? That, but yeah, hey, that's just the world we live in right now. So
hey, since we on the Milwaukee, let's go ahead and do some Packers slam.
Yes, let's,
oh, let's
do it.
Do it.
We can always talk about the Packers.
Oh, let's do it. Oh, let's do it.
Since we on Milwaukee, and you were talking about Christian Watson. I did the numbers, dude. Christian Washington had more targets and less catches than Velus Jones Jr. He had, like, twice as many drops.
Damn!
He had 16 drops. So, yeah, well, that's what people were saying. People were talking about, oh, well, Ja'Marr Chase had drop issues in camp, too. Ja'Marr Chase took a year off of football, bro. He didn't have drop issues at LSU. This is what happened when you were a little rusty. This drop issue with Christian Watson might be an issue. And like we said, Naz, jumping from North Dakota State to the NFL is a big jump.
Yeah.
You know, you're not playing NFL caliber DBs. Right. Velus Jones was in the SEC.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Georgia, Alabama, Ole Miss. You might have heard of these teams. Right. Right? You playing dudes that are in the NFL. The reality of it is most people in the NFL – are from major colleges. They're from Big Ten. They're from SEC. They're from the Pac-12. They're from the Big 12. They're from the ACC.
Right.
Ain't a whole bunch of dudes from the Mountain West, Division II, whatever, West Bubblefuck College. They all from major schools, man.
The West Bubblefuck. You got some swackers in there.
Yeah. You got a couple.
You got some swackers in there, you know.
But I think the wide, like, people been getting on the Bears for the wide receivers, and I'll go back and watch Packers games, man. And Devontae Adams is that dude. I don't care what you say.
That's all they had.
He was the man. He carved us up. Nobody else on that team struggled. Maybe a little bit of Aaron Jones. You know, he can run the rock, but outside wide receivers, It was Davante Adams, bro. They got hurt.
And that's against everybody. That wasn't just against us. Mm-hmm. Davante Adams was killing everybody. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? You know, that's all they had. You talking about Christian Watson. And at the very beginning of this whole draft process, I said that he had the worst drop rate of all those mm-hmm. wide receivers that was out there. Now, can he clean it up? Yeah, of course. I'm not going to say he can't. But it's more work that needs to be done with him with regards to his hands than there is with Velus Jones.
No thumbs.
You know what I'm saying? No thumbs. Popsicle sticks. That's what I call
it. With my good hand. Get it with my good hand.
No thumbs.
But, you know, that's the thing. So, you know, he's got work to do. And those are project-type guys, like you were saying before about Trey. What was his name? Trey out there in San Francisco.
Trey Lance.
That's a bigger project. And Justin Fields is more ready. Polished. He's more polished. Mm-hmm. He's available. It's like the NBA. They talk about guys who's ready to play now. I'll give you a perfect example. Josh Howard, he came out of, you know, Wake Forest when he was mm-hmm. when he went to pros, right? He wasn't a top-notch guy by any stretch of the imagination. Mm-hmm. And his ceiling was not as high as anybody else's, right? But he was pro-ready, and he went directly in because he played 4 years in college. He went directly in and was a major contributor to that team, in Dallas. That's the difference between what Velus Jones is to me and Christian Watson. I think Christian Watson may have a higher ceiling,
mm-hmm.
but Velus Jones is ready to perform and ready to contribute, which is what the Bears need right now. They need mm-hmm. wide receivers, so you get a guy who can contribute. You're not banking on the future. You're saying, okay, we can plug this guy in. He can do some of the things that we need him to do the very next year. And mm-hmm. that's all the Bears did. You know what I mean? So, you know, when people really break the game down and look at it like that, you know, try to do that, man. Just don't write it off as it wasn't what you wanted, or, you know, oh, I see the speed from him and he's 6'4" and blah, blah, blah. You know, those are all great. Those are nice things. But, you know, what's he going to be able to do on the football field very next year? Can you plug him into your system and let him play? Those are the questions you got to ask.
And what's also dope as hell is the fact that, again, Justin Fields handpicked this man.
Oh, yeah.
Handpicked him.
Yeah, he did.
And he handpicked him over Pickens at Georgia, who he's played with. You know, the mouth breather. But
because he knew.
He knew. Like,
man, he was a caveman.
I don't want that. You know, and that's real. I mean, he's seen it. You know
my
what I'm saying?
Dog, man.
That's
my real. Dog Pickens, man. God.
You know, it is what it is. You know, maturity level. I think maturity level also played a part into that, too, though.
Oh, yeah.
I think that played a part as well. You know, I mean, if you look at the wide receiver room, it's a bunch of men.
A bunch of men. That's what I said.
Mm-hmm. No boys.
You know what I mean? Even all the draft picks are like that. All of them. You know, the free agent signings. These are guys that are, you know, they're men. They're not. You know, and that's the part of changing the locker room, changing the culture that we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And people are listening to it. You know, but you have a select few that you know that don't pay attention to that. But that is a major component, especially in the NFL, man. The NFL. Your locker room can go to trash. A football locker room can go to trash way faster than a basketball team can. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because it's just, you got 53 guys. You got an offense, you got a defense, special teams, and then you got coaching staff. So all you need is a couple of bad seeds or, you know, whatever, and things can go haywire real quick. So that's what Poles' situation is. Eberflus, they're trying to clean that up, and they're trying to say, look, this is the type of player that we need. Man, I'm for it, bro. I think they're doing a great job. We're going to get into that, too, with the money situation. But, man, they're doing a great job, bro. Great job.
Yeah, like I think the reason why it matters more in football is because than basketball, because you sacrifice more physically in football, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like basketball, yeah, you can tear your ACL, but you can run up and down the court and jack up shots and play half defense and,
right.
And you know, and just go home at the end of the day. You know, your knee's going to be sore. But football, you asking dudes to, like, take on double teams, block, do kick return, run into a crowd of dudes at full speed. It's a little bit – so you got to be Football is the ultimate team sport. Yeah. Ultimate team sport. You know, you got all these moving parts. Like you said, 53 people mm-hmm. on a team. You know, five offensive linemen got to be in sync. The quarterback got to be a
unit.
They got
to be a unit.
It's the wide receivers are tied into the foot. The quarterback's like footwork. And and the center has to be in tune with the quarterback. And, and the running backs have to know when to pick up protection. And it's so much more to the game and game of football, man. Yeah, and it matters. But I feel a lot better playing the Green Bay Packers without Davante Adams and having young receivers like Christian Watson. He may be good. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to say the young man won't be a good football player. It's going to be a learning curve. And I mean, just playing a guy
major
like
one. A major learning curve.
Jalen Johnson was D'ing up Davante Adams. Mm-hmm. So you say, okay, now you got to go against Jalen Johnson? Oh man, come on, man. You go and you got Brisker back there ready to take your head off? You ain't playing Montana. You playing the Chicago Bears, man. You know, and it's going to be – and now you're expected to be – the role that he needs to fill is bigger than what we need Velus Jones to fill, right? We're asking Velus Jones to be a contributor, to be a wide receiver three, right? That guy's going to have this – I don't know. He might be asked to be wide receiver number one. You're going to ask Sammy Watkins to be wide receiver number one? I think that's good for Bear fans. And as the season gets closer, we're going to see. There's another wide receiver – In the first week that we're playing that may not come back to the 49ers we talked about earlier, Deebo Samuels. You know, we don't know what's going on with Deebo. You know, is Deebo going to be there when the Bears play week one? I don't know. Deebo wants out. They want him back. But, you know, we'll find out. But also, the Bears now have what do we got, like $22 million in cap space?
Yeah, it's looking like it.
You know, we started off with about 25, right?
right.
With like 30 people in the contract.
Exactly.
So we're starting to see it, man. That needed to be some house cleaning. And June 1st, Cousin come on. What y'all think? Y'all think the Bears are going to add people or are we just going to stand pat?
No, I think
20.
Go ahead. I think we'll probably sign another major contributor once we get into camp over, somebody get cut or somebody get hurt, something like that. We'll add a veteran depending on the areas of need after they assess the preseason. And I think we'll probably sign a guy right before we get ready to play our first game. Like a week, you know, that week where nothing's going on right before we play the first game. I think that's when they'll probably try to use that money. Whether it be offensive line, it could be a guard. You know, they've been trying out Sam Mustafer at guard.
I don't think that's going to work.
That ain't going to work. I'm just going to tell you now. Sorry, Olin. That shit ain't going to work. But, you know, they may use that. They got up to 21 mil now in cap space.
They got 22.
22?
Look at it. Yeah, 99 for next year.
Yeah, 22 million in cap space right now. You know what I mean? And they got plenty of guys under contract, 90 total contracted players right now.
Mm.
So the Bears are in a good situation. And this is what I was talking about when I say the job that Poles and Eberflus have done. To turn your roster over this quickly, have this much money, and take the dead cap penalties that you took with getting rid of Khalil Mack and cutting some of the guys that you cut, you know – I don't see how you could point your finger at him and say, you know, he ain't doing a good job. He's not doing what he should have done. He addressed the needs in the locker room, which is, you know, cleaning it up. He addressed wide receiver because he signed wide receivers. He drafted a wide receiver that you could use right away. He drafted secondary pieces. He addressed the offensive line because he signed a center. I mean, he's done everything that you needed done and cut the fat off of the squad, right? And now you have a glimpse of what he wants to do into the future, right? Now, is this team going to be the team for the next 4 or 5 years? Of course not. But you got a bunch of guys under 1 and 2 year deals that are going to go out there and ball out. You'll see what they can do. And if they work out, then they work out. If they don't, then they move on. But if we move on, we got a ton of money to fix and fill those places. $99 million, $100 million next year.
And there's gonna be rollover.
That's before cuts. When cuts happen, that's going to go up. That $99 million will end up with $125 million by the end of next year. To be honest.
because cap rolls over. Like if you have $15 million, that rolls over into the next year, so your cap value goes up. So yeah, man, going into the season, we had $25 million and five draft picks.
Right.
That's all.
That's it.
With everything to fill, and now we are sitting at $22 million after with a 90-man roster. People are like, we don't have enough cash. We're not gonna be able to sign anyone. We got $22 million with a full 90-man roster. We went into the draft with 5 draft picks and walked away with 11. We know this team ain't gonna win the Super Bowl, but you see what's happening, right?
You see
the plan in motion.
Yep.
You see it, and so. Wow, which leads me to the media fuckery. Why is this man who's doing this getting so much heat? And he's getting heat for stuff that's not even his fault. Like,
you know why?
Yeah, we don't like this.
We know why. Shit, reason why they gave Mitch Trubisky 4 years and giving Justin Fields 1.
Oh, yeah. You see that a lot, too. Well, if Justin doesn't break out this year, it's over.
Whatever.
Nah.
Whatever. Them be the same ones that's going to be swinging from his nutsack when we start out the year 5-0, 4-1. Oh, my God, Justin Fields. It's ridiculous, man. You know, but whatever. Whatever. Shit. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Just know we've been riding from day one.
We riding him from day zero, before he even got drafted. Yeah. We were defending him when people were talking shit about him then, saying, "Oh, he's not a hard worker."
Yeah, you know. So, whatever. My thing is, you know, I like the it's an ESPN piece. If you haven't checked it out, it's an ESPN piece about Justin Fields and how he's looking right now and right before OTAs, little mini camp and whatnot. And how they're saying that they're rolling the pocket and keeping him on the move, and how he's excelling, and the bond between him and Getsy is like crazy, and they know what each other is doing, they know what each other is thinking, they're moving as one unit, and it's just impressive, man. You know what I'm saying? I just like it. I like what I'm seeing. I like what I'm hearing. Of course, no team is gonna come out and say their franchise quarterback sucks. We understand that, but the expectation of Justin Fields in this offense is vastly accelerated according to what was reported on in this report and what they saw in this report. I expect a vast improvement in Justin Fields. And with him having a vast improvement and with a better defensive mind calling and putting the pieces in play that we have as stars on our defense. And then, of course, you know, the great, not even a great, but a good, solid offensive game plan. You know, remember what that shit looked like? Before
Nagy. Let me drop a stat.
You know.
I'm going to drop a stat. Doug Farrar. I don't know if I said his name right. At @NFL_Doug Farrar. He posted a stat on Twitter the other day. It said Justin Fields had the NFL highest, which means there's nothing higher for those who don't understand, like, reading comprehension. Passer ratings, the highest passer rating with 138.5 on designed rollouts. And the Bears called just 19 of them. So when you hear Justin Fields is on the move more, don't just go, oh, okay. No, he was the best quarterback in the NFL on rollouts. And Matt Nagy did not call them. This is the difference in the coaching staff. I want to shout out to Ryan Poles, because I said this is probably the most important thing out of everything he would do since he became GM, getting the right staff in order when he took over the job. More important than draft picks, more important than anything. The best quarterback in the NFL on rollouts.
Facts.
And that Jesse was like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to have Justin Fields roll out. Roll out.
Make you want to bust Matt Nagy motherfucking head, don't it? To the brain matter. Fuck the white meat. Screw the white meat to the brain, to the membrane. Like, you bastard.
Oh, man.
It's literally like he had no game plan going out there on Sundays. Like, right. None. Just like, all right. Shit, I don't know. I'm just going to wing it.
Yeah, we knew he was a wrap when he, for one, he didn't start him. And then the Cleveland game was like, that's probably the worst coach game I've ever seen in my life. And we were hearing the John Fox. Mm. That was the worst coach game I've ever seen in my life. Mm, His insanity is described as doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. And that is literally what he did. It was abysmal.
Yeah, Pablo should have whooped his ass after that game.
Yeah. I think we said that.
Pablo should have met him. Pablo should have met him in the tunnel. White tee, white wife beater on and everything, ready to drop dogs. Like, oh no,
I'm finna whoop your ass.
Like, I'm finna beat you. I'm finna beat the brakes off your ass.
You do my son like that.
Right. Like, hey.
Try to bootleg the hell out that game. That whole game, like, if you were gonna run bootlegs any game,
that was that game to do it.
Booted the hell out of Justin. Every pass play, I'd have had Miles Garrett running for his life, this out of breath. I'm like, Justin, you got your track shoes ready because you're running this whole game.
Exactly.
This whole game. Dashes, fucking boots, sprint outs, everything. All game. Nope, Matt Nagy, 7-step drop, 5-man protection, all curls. So, that's the whole point. Like, how do you think this team won't improve? The coaching. You know why? Because the media. You know why? The media, they rolled Matt Nagy. Mm-hmm. These dudes were predicting the Bears were going to go 11-5, win a division every single year. They were all on Ryan Pace. Oh, he's a good GM. He might even keep his job. Nah.
Get the fuck out of here.
He ain't keeping nothing. Like, nah, we straight, fam. We don't need your services. Get your bald-headed ass out of here, Caillou. Caillou for a head coach, bro.
I hate Caillou.
Here's a quick...
I do, too.
Here's a quick... Just a thought, man. Like, a lot of people are paying so much attention to the offensive line, and everybody's worried about the right guard position and things like that. Right? Yeah, I mean, it's, you know...
I know.
Whatever. But I'm looking at their, you know, they got 15 guys right now on the roster. And, you know, that's competition, right? You gotta figure out what these guys are gonna do. First of all, they was coached by Nagy and his minions, right?
Right.
So that was a problem before. So now when you have a different coaching staff and maybe a different scheme that these guys will fit into. We talked about Jenkins coming in 20 pounds lighter. Yep. You know what I mean? Trying to use some athleticism, things like that. But you got guys, and this is what I mean by he addressed the offensive line. You know, he signed Dakota Dozier. That's a player who started 27 games in the NFL. Julian Davenport, he signed him. He's started 32 games in the NFL. So you have a couple of guys like that who, you know, and Lucas Patrick, of course, he's going to be the center. So they're going to move guys around. Like you said, they may try Sam Mustafa, you know what I mean? Whatever they saw something in him. I don't know what they see in him, but they do, right? So, you know, you still got Larry Borum. You still got other guys. Gene Delance, he's a rookie. You know, Dietler Ellison. I mean, you got a lot of different guys. Braxton Jones, he's a rookie that got drafted. Doug Kramer, you know what I mean? So you got these guys. And while everybody's throwing their hands up and saying, you know, this, that, and the third, we also got $22 million, people. Just chill. We got $22 million. Somebody will possibly get signed. Somebody will get cut. You know, there's something out there that the Bears will be able to grab and utilize.
Give it all to Debo.
Just chill, man. Give it all to Debo.
Give it all to Debo, baby. Man, you know if Debo came here, this city would go nuts.
Yeah.
There go nuts.
Guess he said he already got his D-ball though.
Yeah, we do. Damn right. But ain't nothing wrong with having two.
That's true.
Ain't nothing wrong with that's having true. Two.
That's true.
Imagine yeah, also, two guys like that that line up at wide receiver can do whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be tight. I don't know. I still see Debo staying at least a year in San Francisco.
The way he sound, he sound.
I know he sound like he done. Nah, he sound like he done. He sound like he done. He damn sure don't want to run the ball like a running back.
Shanahan damn sure like, don't. You're fucking it up, man. You're fucking it all up. You had to go and fuck it up, man. What I'm gonna do now, man? What I'm gonna do? I don't have Debo.
You know they freaking out.
Oh,
you know
hell yeah, because, bro, Debo made his shit work.
Yeah.
The fact that he ain't got him, it ain't going to work.
Nah, Brandon Ayuk, well, he still got Kittle, but, yeah, Debo was that was a game changer.
Debo was definitely what Snoop say on Doggy Style? That's like Harry Harold Melvin out the Blue Notes, bitch. You never go platinum.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing I like about Debo, and guys that run this type of offense, they understand that. And I like the fact that Getsy said it. The hardest thing you can do in the NFL is drop back, seven-step drop, period, progression, pass the ball, right?
Yeah.
That's the hardest thing you can do.
Absolutely.
You want to limit the amount of time that you do that. Exactly. Matt Nagy was the opposite. He maximized.
He did it every time. If you could do it every time, that's what he wanted to do.
Yeah. You want to have a guy you could throw the ball 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage on a screen, and he'd take it 80 yards. That's what Valus Jones can do. That's what Debo did. It makes it easier for your quarterback. Like, people think, like, every single play, Pat Mahomes is throwing the ball 80 yards, air yards.
Wow.
He throws the ball on a slant.
Wow.
Where do you think, where do they think Travis Kelce eats?
Wow. Yeah.
It's short passes.
He gets short passes, and he's slippery. He has elusiveness. Probably the most elusive tight end in football, and that's what allows him to make plays that after he catches the ball and get yards. That's what he does.
That's what they do. You might see 4 or 5 deep passes a game, but like one of Byron guy we have on our team, Byron Pringle. I posted his yak stats. His yak stats are like off the charts. If you one of his highlights, go watch the Steelers game. He catches the ball on a slant, a quick slant.
Mm-hmm. Takes it to the house.
3 defenders. People were like, oh, Pat Mahomes is amazing. You'd be like, no, that was all Pringle, bro. He ducked one guy, stiff-armed another, juked another one, dove in the end zone. 5 yards. Took it 20.
What does Tom Brady do?
Yeah.
That's what
Godwin.
He's the GOAT, right? That's what everybody says. He's the GOAT.
Mm-hmm.
He's made a living underneath. You know what I mean? Julian Edelman running crossing routes or drag routes across the field. You know, 5 yards down the
slant.
Slant. I mean, he's made a living off of that. Like 20-plus years of that and 7 Super Bowls on it. The only time he had a legitimate deep threat that he was throwing the ball downfield was Randy Moss, and that was for that 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Slot guys and tight ends and running backs. Tom Brady won 7 Super Bowls. Yeah, Mike Evans was outside of Tom, Randy Moss, Mike Evans was the big in Godwin. But yeah, that's what these guys do, man. Like, so when people say that, I'm just like, why you want to make the game hard? I want Darnell Mooney to catch the ball in space, in rhythm, and catching the ball and picking up another 20 yards. That's NFL, baby.
Right.
That's the game.
Facts. You got to have a receiver that can do something with the ball after he catch it and not fucking catch and fall like previous members that we had. But, you know, you want somebody that's going to do something with the damn football after he catches it.
Right.
Not fall down. Catch and fall.
What makes Debo special is that he's a powerful runner. You know what I'm saying? He's one of those guys that dishes out punishment to defensive backs. Right? He's looking to run somebody over when he gets the ball.
So, and this goes back, we're talking about Ryan Poles. They know what they're looking for. You may not agree with it as a fan. I don't like it. I want this guy. They know what they're looking for. Mooney had good yak. He's not a big dude. But remember Mooney versus Seattle? He caught the ball. It took 3 dudes to take skinny Mooney down because he gets yak. He fights for yards. Valus Jones Jr., what does he do?
Mm-hmm.
Fights for yak. What does Byron Pringle do? Fight for yak. even to a lesser extent, Equanimee and Sae Brown, go look at his highlights. Yeah. He's always catching the ball and looking to run. He doesn't catch the ball and fall down. He's a 6'5 guy, but he tries to pick up yak. Even as a fourth wide receiver. This is what they're looking for. They got a certain type. And I want to touch on this real quick. The staff. I posted this on Twitter. I don't think I went into it. Like, we were just trying to tie all the things together with the coaching staff. Because some people don't understand it. Lou Getsky was under Matt LaFleur, right? This is the Shanahan tree. Matt LaFleur coached for Shanahan in Atlanta. He also coached for McVay in Los Angeles, and he was under Mike Shanahan. All three of them were in Washington with the Redskins back in the day. Matt LaFleur, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay. They begat Lou Getsy. Andrew Giannakou was an offensive line coach in Minnesota under Rick Dennison. He was assistant offensive line coach under Rick Dennison, who was connected to Kyle Shanahan and Gary Kubiak. Chris Morgan, the offensive line coach, is a disciple of Kyle Shanahan from the time they were together in Atlanta. Tyke Tolbert was a wide receivers coach under Gary Kubiak in the Denver Broncos when they won the Super Bowl.
Two of them.
This is all tied together. These guys didn't just say, hey, we're going to just assemble a coaching staff and grab a guy from Oregon, grab a guy who coached with Chip Kelly.
Like old Caillou did.
Caillou.
Caillou and Caillou, Matt Nagy, a.k.a. Caillou, wouldn't grab motherfuckers from the scrap heap.
Mike Furry. What was Mike Furry at before he came to the Bears?
Shit, some were chewing on Balco pills.
Straight up.
Having roid rage. Come on! I need it! And you know it was all fake. You know what I'm saying? That shit with Mike Ferry was fake. You know, what's the point of you pumping all them damn roids in your body and beef roids and everything else to expand your damn head size and shit when your players don't even fit? Your players don't even, like, they was like, man, whatever. So what? Okay, whatever. Like, they had no respect for him at all as a coach. You never saw him with his receivers. Like, they would just show Mike Fury. He'd be somewhere holding Matt Nagy's fucking battery pack to his, somewhere holding his battery pack to his damn headset. Legit. You know what I'm saying? Holding the cable and the wire and the battery pack damn near. Like, what are you doing? And he's on the side of him, and somebody go out there and fuck up. They come back to the sideline like, I don't care. Whatever. Oh, well. All right. Whatever.
Well, you know they didn't respect him with the whole Javon Williams.
Oh, man. Javon Williams.
Anthony Miller
and
stuff.
Oh, man. Anthony Miller. They didn't respect that dude, man. None of them did. None of them did. You got Anthony Miller out here hangman dancing and shit. Doing the scarecrow and shit on the field. Like, what are you doing, bro? Juking. That Memphis juking shit.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Like, whatever. You got Tariq Cohen showing motherfuckers woods and shit during. Is he going? He turning on live and shit in the middle of the locker room while people getting ass naked. People getting asshole naked, and he ain't here turning on. That's they like Tariq Cohen's on some D'Angelo Russell type shit to me a little bit. Like, put that damn phone down, man. All kind of motherfuckers walking by, dick swinging and shit.
He got Kyle Long on there.
Yeah, he called Kyle Long. Kyle Long, like, what? Huh? What? What'd I do? Like, bruh, everybody thought Cohen was getting suspended after that. Like, oh, he finna get suspended. Any other call? Let that have been Mike Tomlin. Yeah. You get suspended, bruh. Let that would have been Bill Belichick. Oh, you out of here. You probably get released Monday morning.
I don't know about that, bro. It's a lot of dudes that be having cameras in the locker room nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
They be on live and all of that, you know, when they doing their celebrations and stuff. So you know, it's just something that happened, bro. I don't think he did it on purpose. I don't think no coach would cut you for that neither, though.
Ass naked, dog. Yeah.
I mean, it's just something that happened, bro. You know.
He just dropped his shit like immediately. Like, all right, game over. All right, let's go, baby.
Yeah, I don't think that, but I know for a fact Bill Belichick would have cut Javon Williams.
Bill Belichick. Oh, yeah.
He'd have cut his ass.
That game. He would have came out like, I just want to have a.
But you know, they know
Javon Williams is no longer with the team.
They wouldn't even celebrate in New England, though. No victory.
Nah. It was no celebration. Like, act like you've been there before.
Ain't gonna be no dub club, dub. It's not even act like you've been there before. He's just a boring coach. Don't nobody
facts.
Like that.
Like, Tom Brady just got a Twitter. Tom Brady just got a Twitter handle. Like, I think he only had his Twitter handle a year.
Bill Belichick, people give him credit for that. Like, oh, he no nonsense. He's boring. He sucks. He's trash. He ain't that great. You know what I mean? He had the benefit of having a cold quarterback for the majority of his career. You know, he ain't that good, bro. For real. All that.
I won't go that. I won't go that far.
Attitude. He boring. All that. He boring. He whack to me. He
boring. But I won't say he ain't good.
he better win something without Tom Brady to get the credit that he warrants right now that people give him. I think he needs to win without Tom Brady.
Yeah, well, he ain't gonna win. He's gonna win it with Mac Jones. I'll tell you that. Roll Tide, but come on, bro, Mac Jones. No. I'm sorry, man. No. Man, but yeah, I like the way this – I like – but back to what we were saying, I like the way the staff is picking people, man. I think Justin Fields is going to have a good year. And I'm going to be insufferable. I'm going to be a tyrant on the timeline.
Me as well.
Going crazy. Going in on
I'm going to be a tyrant. Is going to be tyrannical on the timeline because there's been too much, bro, to be coming at a rookie quarterback in a bad position. We never seen nobody come at T-Law like this. Nobody came at Zach Wilson. Actually, his first year, he was already in a Shanahan scheme because they got a LaFleur there.
Right.
So he's been in the system. So, you know, he started off in a better system than Justin Fields and he ain't done much. And he's a rookie. Most rookie quarterbacks don't play that well. Justin Herbert ruined it for everyone. Justin Herbert came in and went nuts his first year, and so now every pundit in swinging penis thinks that every quarterback is supposed to come in year one and throw 30 touchdowns. And this, that's not how it works.
It's not realistic, bro.
No,
you know what I mean. It's not the way this works. This is the NFL still. You know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he had a nice season and things like that. But, you know, there's going to be hiccups for most quarterbacks along the way. They're not going to walk into the right situation all the time. There's a lot of stuff that goes into this whole thing, man. So, you know, I'm tired of I'm not even going to say I'm tired of defending them because I'm going to always do that. I'm going to defend Justin Fields and Ryan Poles for that matter. But I'm tired of people. And we know what they're doing it for. And I'm just going to say it. It's because they're black. Because you got a black quarterback and you got a black GM. Mm-hmm. You feel some type of way about it. And you're literally rooting for them to fail. You want them to fail. And you're pointing out things that are not even realistic because you want them to fail because you would rather have somebody else in there. Now, to me, that's a fake fan. I'm just going to call it what I call it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fake fan because it doesn't matter who you have in there if they're doing good. And we've run it down. We got more money. We cut the fat. We trim the fat. We address the needs of the team. You know what I mean? All these things that he's done, you know, is it the way you would have did it? No, I would have went after Brian Allen. I'm so sick of hearing that. I would have went after, you know, a wide receiver. We need one. There were no wide receivers. You know what I mean? Allen Robinson was the best one out there.
Yeah, and we left.
You know, he wasn't coming back to Chicago. Yeah. So get out of your feelings about it. Get over it, you know? So
yeah, I said that. I was like, DJ Chark. These guys, like, in Barber, these are like tier three guys, right? These guys aren't superstars.
Exactly. They're not. What are they going to do for your team that a rookie can't do?
Yeah. So, you know, and that's what it is. The Bears would have signed DJ Chark instead of Byron Pringle. And if they would have signed, let's say, a young, improving guy, that, like an upside guy, they signed Equanime and St. Brown. Who's a young upside guy? Another, like, but the popular upside guy was Auden Tate. These guys have both been in NFL right on the same amount of time, and neither one of them have done much for whatever reason, injuries, lack of opportunity, just a young upside guy. But since we signed the other upside guy, they didn't like it. Because we signed Byron Pringle instead of DJ Chark, they mad. They pretty much a similar level players. These aren't, you know, drastically different players. I was watching a game last night. Lucas Patrick, he was playing guard. Who else was I watching? Shit. But he was playing guard, but he was handling his business, man. No, it was a Baldy breakdown. Mm-hmm. It was a Baldy breakdown. And he was talking about the Packers offense. And yeah, man, Lucas Patrick can play, man. People slipping. It's a name, right? Now, if the Bears play well, this is how this works. You guys understand this. If the Bears play well, they go 10-7. Justin Fields has a good season. They put up good numbers. Now these names that they didn't like, now they're names. Oh, Byron Pringle was good. Darnell Mooney is a hell of a receiver. Oh, yeah, David Montgomery. Now they're names. They're not names now because you just don't know them. That doesn't mean they can't play. And Justin Fields said this. We don't have names, but these dudes can play. So let them play.
People got to realize that you have to make your name somewhere. You got to make your name somewhere. Thanks. You don't just come into the league and have a name.
Thanks.
I don't care who you are. You got to make your name somewhere. You could have been Dan Marino. But if Dan Marino didn't come in and his rookie season performed the way he performed, he wouldn't have been Dan Marino. He would have just been some other dude. So you got to make your name. These guys have an opportunity to make their name. We'll see what they do.
Facts. Mm-hmm. Well said, my brother. Well, my brother.
Yeah.
Well said.
Preach. Preach.
What's the name? What's the name of this church? What's the name of this church today?
First Baptist of Dan. Dan, the First Baptist preacher. No, but guess he said that. He said, people like, oh, well, you had Devontae Adams. He's like, Devontae Adams wanted Devontae Adams till he became Devontae Adams.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It took him 3 years. Like another thing, people want to talk about, oh, Justin Fields. Aaron Rodgers didn't throw a touchdown until his third season. He threw one.
Yep.
He was getting Brett Favre condoms from them little call girls he was having sex with in the motel rooms.
Yeah.
That man wasn't even on the field to year four.
And burner phones so he can send dick pics.
Nextels. Them joints you used to buy at the gas station with the prepaid minutes.
So he can send his cock pics
to reporters. He's sending them to reporters.
Right.
Zipping the Wranglers he was wearing.
Come on, dog. Come
on. No draws. Got these Wranglers.
No
draws,
wearing copper fit. Copper fit.
Oh, he had no draws and a copper fit on his damn knee. And some cowboy boots.
Yeah. Sitting on a riding lawnmower.
Right.
John Deere.
You know you want it.
Yeah, man. Like, people be saying, like all these guys came out the womb in straight year one, balling.
They forget that. They forget the years that they was ass leading up to that point. They forget them right. Years, though. Like,
they forget that conveniently, right?
Right.
Real convenient.
Oh, it's coming,
I,
though.
I pointed that out. What was it, 30-plus years? Basically, yeah. That they was just trash. They was garbage.
Brett Favre had to suck before he became Brett Favre.
Through a bunch
when
of
he
picks.
Was at when he was in Atlanta, you know, shit, being hungover and shit. He was a real life party guy. He was hopped up. He was hopped up off beer and painkillers.
Beer and Vicodin. You know, Natty Ice and Vicodin.
That's what it was. You know what I'm saying? Yep. In Atlanta.
Straight.
And, then they traded him to Tampa Bay, and the rest. I mean, Tampa Bay. Damn. They traded him to Green Bay, and the rest was history.
But who was here? Who was that coach? Who was it? Holmgren.
Yeah, Mike.
Where did Holmgren come from? San Francisco. Who was in San Francisco? Bill Walsh. You like, bro, it takes, you got to get the right guy with talent and put him with the right coach.
Put him with the right coach,
In the right school. Right formula. And the rest is history.
Hey, as DLC used to say, it's the formula.
It's the formula.
It's the formula.
Yeah, Dre. There you go.
The formula.
How many rap careers have Dre broken? That's the point, man. You got to get these guys in the right situation, the right scenario, and then they take off. So we're going to be all right, man. I'm excited. It seemed like the more time in the offseason, people just sit around and just come up with BS. Like, how can you get worse when football is not even being played? that's the part that kills me. It's like, there we go.
That's it.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
If y'all don't know, man, that's one of the greatest hip-hop albums ever made. No one can do it better, man.
It is.
Sad he got in that accident and only can make one album.
Yeah. Well, shit, he got paid because he wrote for all of Death Row. All
I don't know if he got
Death
paid.
And got paid.
I don't know if he got paid, but you know, you're still fooling with Suge Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, he got paid because he was that Doggy Style album.
Yeah, The Chronic.
The Chronic.
Yeah.
Probably wrote for Eminem too.
Man, he DLC. He wrote for a lot of motherfuckers. And they got Erykah Badu knocked up. Like, what are you doing? That booty though, I get it.
Hey, Erykah Badu, she done made a lot of people lose their mind.
I know, that's what I'm saying. She got that
Common.
She got some chill. She had Dre 3000 wearing grass skirts and shoulder pads and
Common
shit
too.
Out here.
Well, like, remember that period where Common was wearing coochies and dashikis
Hey, she had this cat in the grass skirts and motherfucking shoulder pads, dog. Like,
shoulder pads, bro.
He tripping.
Like, what you doing, bro?
Yeah, she had all.
Damn, is that good?
Yeah. She had him and Common on one, man.
You know, she sells incense, bro. She sells incense that smells like her.
Yeah, that smells like her vagina. Yeah, real talk. Real talk. She smells incense that smells like her vagina.
That smells like her. And it's sold out. It sells out. Like, every time it goes on sale, sells out.
I want to know who buying them
moments.
Shit.
Andre 3000. All of them.
Sitting in the room with three of them lit up.
Breathing that boy in hard.
Bumping Rosa Parks. Yeah.
Ooh. I remember these.
Spoliope Dopalicious. We going off the rails. That's all I got, bro.
Yo. Hey, shout out to Will's cousin, man. She just became a doctor, man.
Yeah.
Oh, show love, Will.
Shout out to my little cousin, Jaleesa Harris, man. Jaleesa Harris, man. She's been in school forever. I used to always brag, my little cousin going to be a doctor, man. She's going to be a doctor. She finally did it.
Junk came to fruition.
She's going to be working in Cook County. She's going to be getting a residency, you know. She'll be putting in work, man. So I'm real proud. First medical doctor. We got like a couple PhDs.
That's where I was born too, by the way, Cook County. I was born
here. Same here.
Sure.
Full circle.
Oh, shit, I was born in Germany.
Oh, you a German?
Yeah.
You're a military brat?
Yeah, man. I was born in Germany, bro.
What part of Germany, bro?
Sure. West Germany, Kaishan-Buhlanden. Oh, Rheinland Pfalz, Main Hessen, Frankfurt, Germany.
Okay.
I spent a little time in K-Town, Kaiserslautern. Germany's fun, bro.
Yeah, sex-free country, man. Sex-free. Butt ass. They don't care.
They don't play. You can drink at 18. I found that out. On the airplane. Yeah.
So. Man. No word?
Yeah. Let me get some Jack and Cokes. Oh. Landing in Paris. They had the magazines out there, like the Maximum magazines, they all like topless. Right. The Cosmo magazines.
Right.
Like, y'all just put Playboy out here? They're like, no, monsieur, in Paris. It is not considered nudity to be topless. I was like, wow, I like Germany. I like Europe. Yeah, bro, they be just on the TV, just topless.
Going crazy.
Yeah, that's kids seeing it. Nothing blurred out. That's how it is in Europe, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They wear a lot of perfume too, because they don't like bathe every day either. Too. That's what the perfume thing comes. You know, us Americans, we take baths every day, sometimes twice.
Right.
They're like, what y'all doing? Right. Like, we're American, bro. We bathe. What's wrong with
that? That's why I don't smell like ass, Pierre.
Yeah. Yeah. I just play basketball. Like, you stay me to like smell like we just play ball. You think I ain't about to take a shower? And I'm taking one at night. Like, yeah, I'm taking two showers. That's how we roll.
For real.
That's all I got.
Man. And shout out to you, what is it? Your son too, man. He going to what'd you sign him up for, basketball camp, right?
Yeah, he's doing a little basketball camp, man. They got the coach, he's doing the skills. They were like, hey, I want him to go to this basketball camp. He's like, he's starting them young at 5. And I asked him if he wanted to go. He said, yeah.
Yeah, that's what's up. That's
Shout out to Roman.
And Deuce. Yeah, and Deuce, Roman. Too, right?
Yeah, Deuce still doing his thing, man. You know, ain't nothing
Deuce
changed.
Play everything.
They got the playoffs starting tomorrow, so. You know, Deuce about to get locked in, man. You know, it's playoff time. You know, his squad won a championship last year. You know, he's and they trophies look like the actual NBA trophies.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Look like the actual NBA trophy championships or whatever. So,
how is he now?
He's still 11.
I see. With the movie, tell them, they start him young.
Yeah,
start him young, bro.
Start him young.
Yeah,
start him
he's young. 11. You know, and he's if for those who ain't seen him, he looked like he's 15.
Yeah,
he's only 11. Tall. You know, so and I keep playing him with older kids. So
that's the way you do it. That's the way you do it, though, because it teaches him so much, bro. Like I remember when I was young, I went to play ball. You know, my dad would go to the gym and he used to hoop all the time. Like my dad would hoop with all the greats, like Terry Cummings. He used to, like, not the greats, but you know what I mean? People from the neighborhoods that knew how to ball and knew how to play. Mark Aguirre, he played with him, with all these dudes, right? So, you know, I would go to the gym with him, and he was like, man, look, man, I'm gonna let you play. And I'm like, grown men, Dad, you know what I mean? I'm 12, 13 years old. And he's like, look, just stand in the corner on offense and shoot that shot. Because I had a shot back then. He's like, shoot the shot from the corner. They're not going to guard you. And you just hit a couple shots, and you'll be all right. That's how I learned how to play. And I playing with older people, it always works out best
for me. They be serious, too.
Yeah, they be, you know. Yeah, they be serious. They take it serious.
I know like I was. Money I was, on the line. Yeah, they be serious.
Yeah, yeah. I learned like that, too. My cousin, he ended up getting hurt later on, but he played for Tennessee State, right? And I used to visit Alabama, so... They used to go to UAB, University of Alabama at Birmingham. Everybody that ever played ball in the state of Alabama, they all go to, they open up the gym, let them run. I was like 15, right? And I'd be like, he'd be like, all right, we running. He'd be like, first pick, I'm picking my cousin. Dude, this dude's in here that play for like LSU, Georgia Tech.
You picking me?
You picking me first.
Hey, let's go.
Like, he's like, I'm picking my cousin first off the bat. I'm out here with D1 collegiate athletes, right?
So where you do it?
And that's how you learn how to play. I'm the youngest guy on the court, and you hit a couple shots. Then you do a move, throw a pass, throw alley-oop, and you start getting that confidence.
That's how you do it.
That's how you do it. You play.
My cousin, same thing. I used to hoop with him. He's 4 years older than me.
Yep.
And we go to the park. We go to the gym, the rec center. And, you know, he was like, look, this is back in the day when Michigan was cold. And I used to, he was like, look, you be Jimmy King, I'm going to be Jalen Rose. We about to run this. And I thought I was cold because I was running with the older kids.
That's how it worked, baby.
That's how it worked.
It was.
So start them young, man. I was telling people this, too, about sports, about rookies. I said, dude, and this is how you got to know you got to have to play sports, right? We talked about this on a Ray's thing.
Yeah. So
I think some people haven't played sports. That's a jump. When you take a guy that went to college – and you put them in the NFL, that's like playing up to them. That's like taking a guy in high school and making a run with Division I athletes.
Right.
It's going to be an acclimation period. Even if that guy can play, he still has to adjust to that game. And I think there's a lot of people that don't understand that because I don't think they played. They never played up. Or they played, they only played with their age group.
Right.
If you step up, bro, you like when I play with my cousins, I had to adjust my game because I was like 6 feet, right? And I was playing kids that were 5'9". I could just post them up. I couldn't post up D1 college out. These dudes are 6'7". So guess what I had to learn how to do? I had to learn how to shoot. And I learned how to shoot a teardrop, bro, because when I went to the basket, if I just tried to jump up high as I could to lay it in, they would send my shit to the other side of the court, bro. So I would learn throw that fucking teardrop, it would be like over the backboard, bro.
Loads,
so
all of that, yep.
Yeah, because you couldn't get a shot off. I started learning how to shoot a fadeaway, create separation, because I couldn't do the same things. Yep. And Justin Fields is learning that. He learned that when he played against Myles Garrett. He was like, oh, I can just run around this corner and I cannot run him out. And Miles Garrett got that paw on that foot.
It takes
welcome
time.
To the NFL.
Yeah, it takes time.
You're going to have to run faster.
You got to learn. There's an adjustment period, bro.
Mm-hmm.
There's an adjustment period. When you step up in class, you step up in everything. The athleticism, the smarts behind the game, these guys are trained. They've studied film. Ain't nobody studying film like that in college. You study what your coach tells you to, but these dudes go home and they study film in the pros. And they've been studying film for years.
Mm-hmm.
They know tendencies. They know all of that stuff. So it's a whole different ball game. It's a whole different ball game. It's pretty cool we got on this topic a little bit, fellas, man, because you know what I mean? It's one thing that I want to mention, too. The HBCUs that are now getting some shine because of Deion Sanders, because of Eddie George, you know what I mean? All these guys who are now becoming coaches there, that's really good. And then you see, like I posted a clip of that young kid, man. He's a freshman in high school, and he went and visited, of course. But if you look up and down his timeline, he's working. He's working on these games. That's why these guys are coming in younger and younger. We've talked about it, and as you've been on it, like, these dudes playing 707s.
Yeah.
They know how to play football now.
Yeah.
And they're ready to go. And that speaks volumes, because this dude is like, you know, you a freshman in high school, and you're doing this and doing that, and you training, and, you know, you going to the cryogenic center, and, you know what I mean? You really taking care of your body. It's a science to it now, and guys are getting that, and it's like, I like to see that, man. I really do.
Yeah.
Start them young, man. These kids are way more advanced than I was. I was saying, I was out there with them, and the coach, they got them dribbling behind their back in between their legs, doing the cones. I was like, I wasn't doing that at six, bro. I was like, dude, what the hell? Yeah, man. So this is a little insight of all, you know, the sports, like. That when we talk, we ain't just talking.
Yeah.
You know, we got kids. Your son's gonna be in it soon.
Well, he just turned five on Sunday.
Sunday. That's when they start. Yeah,
he just turned five, so like he got his baseball glove. He want to play like T-ball, right?
Yeah.
So I signed him up for it or whatever. But you know, he got his old T-ball set, his bat, and everything. It's funny because I'll be watching the Cubs. I'll be watching the game, and he literally stands in the living room. Right, I'm watching the game, and I look at him. And as the pitcher pitches the ball, he's doing the motion of the pitcher. He does it. I didn't tell him to do it.
That's dope.
He does it. He just does that. And it's like, I'm looking at him. I'm like, what you doing, man? He's like, oh, it's baseball. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Keep doing it. Whatever. You do what you want to do. You know, if it make you happy, do it.
Right.
You know? But it was cool to see that, man, because you could see that, like, he embracing sports. I love sports, but I'm not going to push it on him.
Exactly.
But he embraces it. And it's like a little love of his right now. You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
he likes baseball and he likes basketball. He says his favorite is basketball. But I don't see him doing that with basketball. I see him doing that with baseball.
Yeah, they tell you what they.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm in the house right now. I'm surprised, like, freaking dude, you got a hoop. The door open, like, all throughout the day, bro. The door just opens. Boom, it's on the side of the house. Hit a door shut. Doom. I hear. Doom, 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 doom. Doom, 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 doom. Boom. Do, do, do. Like all day long. I don't even tell him to.
That's it.
He's out there shooting and he'd be like, let's play. And I'm like, dude, I'm old, man. I gotta sit my ass down. I had to ball him up though. I started hitting all kind of shots.
Had to warm him up.
Hey, get him mad.
Gonna have them wars in the driveway.
Yeah. Hey,
man, you cheating. Oh yeah.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do my son like my dad did me. My dad used to dog us. he give us the work every chance he got. I'll be like, man, why you playing so hard? He'd be like, cause y'all gonna beat me sooner or later. So I'm gonna get all mine in right.
That's
now.
Exactly. I was letting him get a few. I was letting him get a little few in a little bit. We were playing like horse, and I just started just bop 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 bop. I hit like 10 in a row, dude. He was mad, dude. Banging out the backboard, shooting from way over on the side. He was just like, how you do that? How you do that? How you do that? But it's good because I'm like, I'm really focusing on his form.
Right.
And so, you know, because he was shooting the ball like a kid. And so now he's starting to go to camp. I'm like, nah, you got to change the way you shoot.
Yeah.
Can't shoot like a little boy no more. And I'm like, you see, and I just shoot with one hand. And I'm like, you got to be able to shoot. I can shoot with one hand, flat footed, anywhere on the court. And I'm just like, yeah, that form. And I'm like, that's all in the wrist. So it's just teaching them. Like, give y'all a little insight on the sports stuff, man. I'm not getting him in flag football. I saw Deuce in flag.
Yeah.
They did ask him to play flag. They like, dude, he's fast. Because my mom was like all track. It was all city. My mom was like all city in Chicago. So you got that speed. The women in my family are fast, bro. They can run.
That's what's up.
Wife ran Boston. We got, hey, see what we tell y'all. These athletes, we know the game, baby. We ain't just talking.
Yeah. Making stuff up.
We ain't making stuff up.
We ain't making stuff up. It ain't like we ain't never picked a ball up in our life. You know what I mean?
I tell y'all, I was a knucklehead. I should have played D1. Basketball or football, I was a knucklehead. I tell you that. I got my degrees now, but I had a GED because I had to friggin' my school, my education was tore up. I was a mess. United States Army saved my life. You are looking. I tell people, like, hey, bro, what you looking at today?
It's a ain't different person.
You're looking at 17.
Yeah. It's funny though, because you know, you go back to your old neighborhood, or you meet some people that you haven't talked to in a long time, and they're like, "Dang, I can't believe." It's like somebody. My nickname is Beanie. People call me Beanie, right? So my homeboy, he's like, I hadn't seen him in several years, and he saw me. He's like, "Dog, like, it's still Beanie, but you different though. Like you're not the same, but you are the same." Right, it's like, yeah. I done mellowed out a little bit, man.
Yeah,
I don't have that temper no more. You know what
I mean? Yeah, exactly. So
I don't have that temper.
So it's good. It's cool to have kids and see that they can live, go that path. That maybe, let's say, I messed up my path, and that I got him. And if he's into it, he got the world at his disposal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I couldn't go to a camp at 6 years old. You know, I couldn't. Mm-hmm. Parents couldn't afford it. Right. He can. He's like, "So you want to go? You want to do it?" I pulled up my phone. Done.
Let's do it.
So it's cool, man. So that's it, folks. Got a little personal, give y'all some insight, but it's all good, though. Thank y'all for rocking with us.
Appreciate y'all, man. Stay up. And appreciate y'all, man. Keep going through and dogging these people, because y'all dragged old boy worse than we did. We ain't really have to do that much.
Facts. They had already killed him before we got to him.
I went to it, and I was like, dang. I mean, I was just scrolling. I'm like, dang, everybody just, okay, well, it's handled.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say anything else. They were killing him.
So, y'all take it easy, though, man. Be safe out there.
Peace.